Thank you. Christian Family Church, including those in the lobby. Come on and join us. Amen. So let's go ahead and celebrate our Savior's birth, give praise and honor and glory, and hear a wonderful message on the day of his birth. In Jesus' name, let's sing.
Rain be Sin and error.
bless your name this morning, Lord.
redeemed, Lord. We thank you for Jesus. We rejoice and we celebrate. Christmas is a celebration of the Christ. We celebrate you, Lord Jesus, and we give you praise. And all the people said amen and amen.
Amen.
Why don't you turn to your neighbor and tell them Merry Christmas. I'm glad to see you today. Give them a big Merry Christmas this morning.
Go out of tradition to church. I was thinking about it. Often they go out of tradition, and really, what they just see the baby Jesus. They see the, which is wonderful. That's the beginning of the story, right?
Right.
But if we don't see the powerful Jesus, it doesn't change our lives. Amen. And so, thank you for worshiping with us this morning. We had a good service last night, and we're going to honor the Lord this morning. So we want to welcome, if anyone's visiting us for the first time, we did. I did see some visitors this morning. We're so glad that you are with us. I wish we could have all been together in one service, but this is, I know it's convenient for people. Some it works Christmas Eve and some Christmas morning, but we want to welcome those who are visiting us for the first time today. We're glad you've joined us. Thank you for worshiping with us. And we'd like to just honor you. We'd like to give you a gift bag right where you're sitting. So if you are here for the first time, would you mind just waving your hand? God bless you. Welcome, welcome, welcome. We have a number of first-time visitors. Just keep your hand up until an usher gets a gift bag to
Thank
you. Thank you.
Anybody else?
First time here too?
Okay.
On the front row. Thanks, Tony. Thank you. Thank you. Thanks so much. In that gift bag is a couple of things. One is a teaching CD from Pastor Steve. We put it in there hoping it'll be, it's your Christmas present. What can I say?
Thank you.
So, you're welcome. And we hope that you'll enjoy that. And then also there's a white card. If you just take a moment and fill that out, in a short while we pass an offering bag by. If you just drop that in, it gives the pastor an opportunity to call you, just find out how you enjoyed the service. We'd love you to just come and say hi to us. If you haven't greeted us today, we'd love to meet you and just find out how you came to church this morning. But we are going to, and Pastor Steve preached such a powerful message last night that you're going to be blessed by the meaning of Christmas, right? And but right now, this is a time in the service where we're going to have the opportunity to give. This is a time of giving, right? Oh, I like when you're excited. So today is Christmas, and it's a time we set aside to celebrate the birth of Christ. Now, we know he wasn't born on the 25th of December, right? He was born in April, but this is the time that we set aside to celebrate his birth. And this is truly the greatest gift given to mankind. You know, the ultimate sacrifice of our Father God, who loves man, loves you, men and women, so much that he gave his son so that he could welcome us into his family. It's the ultimate gift. And you know, when we read the Christmas story, and I encourage you to do that, if you haven't read that for a while, we'll read parts of it today in service, but go home and read Matthew. We used to sit down with our kids and read the account of Jesus' birth on Christmas morning. And so we see that the wise men traveled from the east, and they were looking for this baby that was going to be born. And they went to Herod, and they asked him if he knew where the baby was going to be born. And he called for the chief priests, and he asked them, where do the scriptures say that the Messiah will be born? And then we're going to pick up the story in Matthew 2. I want to just read a couple of verses. It says, after they had heard the king, talking about the wise men, they went on their way. And the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures, and they presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. So these wise men traveled from the east to come and worship Jesus. And they carried with them gifts that they were going to give him, precious gifts. The Bible says gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And, you know, maybe we understand the value of gold, but frankincense and myrrh were very precious and costly in those days. That was, you know, even now my daughter does some of the essential oils, and the value in frankincense, the things, the healing properties that it has, was so valuable then, even as it is now. But in those days, if you translated the worth of what they brought into modern money, frankincense would have cost about $500 a pound. That's a lot. And myrrh would have cost about $4,000 a pound. So what I'm trying to say to you is what they brought to Jesus was very dear. It was very precious to them. It was expensive. So they came to do two things. They came first to worship him, and then they came to give him gifts. And so as we celebrate Christ's gift today, Christ's birth today, what we do is we come to worship him like we have, but we never come empty-handed. So at offering time, see yourself as those wise men coming before the Lord, not just to worship him and say, Lord, thank you for all you've done, but we give an offering to him. Amen. And so we have envelopes on your seat right under you. There's an envelope with black on. That's our regular tithes and offering envelopes. But we have, during the month of December, we do a heart for the house. That is anyone who has a heart for the house of God. A heart to see us do more. Who wants to see more of the things of God? We want to see more people get their lives touched, right? We want to see more people, more marriages restored, more family, more people come to know the Lord. That's what it's all about. And so we ask you in the month of December to just pray about it and just decide what it is you'd like to do over and above from your household. And we do the same. And thank you for doing that this morning. If you'd, all through the month of December, all your giving is tax deductible, which is a blessing in this country. So think of that as well. But right now we're going to prepare to give. But we have a song item this morning from our own. 2 minutes. Is it going to do a costume change? He's coming. It's a mystery. Ushers, go ahead with the offering, please. We appreciate that. Thank you so much for giving. Father, we thank you for those who are sowing and giving into your kingdom with their tithes and offerings, that are bringing an offering to you. Lord, we love you. We worship you. Everything we have comes from you. I pray a blessing on each giver today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Are we ready for our own James Smith Jr.?
Hallelujah. Somebody give God a praise and a praise. Come on, open up your mouth. Come on, open up your mouth. Hallelujah. God has crowned us with honor and glory. Let's give him praise. Hallelujah. Some of y'all have said, open your mouth all day long. Hallelujah. I don't know about y'all. I'm ecstatic. I don't have time to tell y'all the stuff God delivered me from. Put your hand together for my pastor, Pastor Steve and Pastor Gil. Put a hand together for all the brothers in the house, all the musicians, and everybody, all the listeners. We love each and every one of you. If I had to do this song myself, I would name this song, Jesus is the Reason for Every Season. Yes. Is that right? I heard Pastor say that again, but you don't mind taking this one day, the whole world gonna go right on and acknowledge God. But we know that Jesus is the reason for every season. Yes. I'm gonna do this song right here, and I'm gonna get out of the way because I know we gotta go. Give me a little something about you. Hello, everybody.
On
all right. Put your hands together, y'all. Come on, put your hands together. Good God. Come on. See y'all, please put your hands together. Yeah. Put your hands together this morning. Listen, I got a verse. Here we go.
Jesus is the reason.
Hey, come on. Come on, come on, hey! know. Come on, Pastor, I just stand with yourself. Come on now. Put it together. Come on. Hey. Man, I love it when you call him your Savior.
Do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife,
For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. For he will save his people from their sins. Now, in Hebrew, the name Jesus is Yeshua, and it literally means God is salvation. It says in verse 22, so all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child, and she shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Now, when Matthew said that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah, by the prophet, he's talking about the prophet Isaiah. So let's go and read the prophecy that Matthew is referring to. Let's read it in Isaiah chapter 7, verse number 10. It says, moreover, the word of the Lord spoke again to Ahaz. Say Ahaz.
Ahaz.
Saying, ask a sign for yourself from the Lord your God. Ask it either in the depth or in the height above. Isaiah comes to Ahaz, the king. He says, ask the Lord for a sign. But Ahaz says, I will not ask. I will not test the Lord. And then he said, hear now, O house of David, it is a small thing. Is it a small thing for you to weary men? But will you weary my God also? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin will conceive and bear a son, and you shall call his name Emmanuel. Now, that's the prophecy that Matthew is quoting, talking about Jesus. So let me just give you a little background. Ahaz is the king of Judah. Judah is one of the tribes of Israel. There's 12 tribes in Israel. Ahaz is the king of Judah. There's a king over Judah, and then there's a king over all of Israel. And Ahaz is not a godly king. And at this time, Syria is attacking, besieging Judah. They've even got the nation of Israel involved with them coming against Judah. So Ahaz, the king, he's afraid. He's got Syria, he's got Israel all coming against Judah. And so the prophet Isaiah comes to him with a prophecy. And if you back up and read a little bit before that, you'll find that the prophet said, God is saying, he's going to take care of you. God's going to take care of his people. Everything's going to be okay. And then he says, this is what God says. Ask me for a sign. But Ahaz says, I'm not going to ask for a sign. I'm not going to test God. But it really wasn't, it seems like a spiritual answer, but it really wasn't spiritual at all, because Ahaz wasn't a godly man. As a matter of fact, at the very time this happened, while Syria is coming against them, setting their, their battle forces in array against Judah, Ahaz has made an under-the-table deal, a behind-the-scenes deal with the king of Assyria, not Syria, Assyria. And in essence, the deal he's made with the king of Assyria is that he's going to give up the people of Israel as slaves to the king of Assyria, so that he can save his own life. So he's got this deal going on. He doesn't want to trust God. He doesn't want to do it God's way. He wants to manipulate and try doing it his own way. So when Ahaz said, I'm not going to test God, it wasn't that he didn't want to test God. It was that he didn't want to trust God. He wanted to trust the way he can work things out, the way he can put things together in his own ability. So God says, okay, I'm going to give you a son. And then he gives a messianic prophecy. Do you know what a messianic prophecy is? The word messianic means a scripture in the Old Testament that refers to the Messiah, who we know is Jesus Christ. So any prophecy in the Old Testament that talks about the coming Messiah is a messianic prophecy. So Isaiah, as a sign, says God is giving you a sign to let you know everything's going to be okay. This is the sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son. And he will be Emmanuel, God
Now, how would that be a sign to Ahaz? Because this is 740 years before the birth of Jesus. 740 years before the birth of Jesus, Isaiah says, I'm going to give you a sign. The virgin's going to conceive. How's that a sign to the king Ahaz? Here's the sign. Here's what you've got to remember. Ahaz is king of Judah. Judah is of the house of David. That's the lineage of Jesus. Jesus came through the house of David. It's the lineage of the Messiah. So here's what God is saying. Don't you remember the Messiah is coming through the house of David, through the tribe of Judah. And the sign is the Messiah hasn't come yet. So that means there's no way that anything could happen to you, because God is saying, I've got a plan and I've got a purpose and this is what's going to happen, and it hasn't happened yet. So don't worry about the king of Syria, because everything is going to be okay. Do you know there's no way the enemy can prevail against you, because you are God's people and God has a purpose and a plan for your life? The same sign we have today, because we're the people of God, and because God has a plan and a purpose for our life. When the enemy comes to you and says, I'm going to get you, I'm going to destroy you, you remember, no, you can't get me. I'm a child of God, and God has a plan, and God has a destiny, and God has a purpose for my life.
Amen.
Now let me tell you, this prophecy contains two truths that we must firmly establish in our life. Number one, I believe in the virgin birth. Say, I believe in the virgin birth. Now, there's a lot of people that don't think that's important, but it's extremely important. And let me tell you why it's important to believe in the virgin birth. Because Jesus was born of a virgin, it means he was fully God when he was on the earth. He was God in human flesh. Remember Matthew 1:18, we read it earlier. She was found with child of the Holy Spirit. And verse 20 says, that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. That which is conceived in Mary is of the Holy Spirit. It's not a human. It's not the child of a human being. It's been conceived by the Holy Spirit, not by a man. Do you realize why there is an attack against believing in the virgin birth? How many of you know there's an attack against? Some people think, as Christians, we are stupid. You believe in the virgin birth. How dumb are you? I always say, well, you believe in evolution. How dumb are you? You need more faith to believe in evolution than you do to believe in the virgin birth. But the point is, there's an attack against the virgin birth. You see, if Jesus wasn't born of a virgin, then he was conceived by a man. And that means he's not God. The only way Jesus could be God was to be conceived by the Holy Spirit. And he was God on this earth. Emmanuel means God with us. God never sent a representative. God himself came to the earth to redeem us, to pay the price, to give his life. God came, became a man. You see, the Bible says that the iniquities or the sins of the father are passed on to the children. In Exodus 20 verse 5. It says, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children. It says that the sin are passed down from the father to the children. So that's why God had to bypass a human. That's why Jesus couldn't be conceived by a human being, by a man, because that sin would have been passed down. So God used the egg of a woman, but the seed came from God himself. Jesus wasn't conceived by the seed of a man. Therefore, He was born without sin. He didn't have a sin nature. He was born perfect. God prophesied this way back in Genesis. Right after Satan, the serpent, came and tempted them, in Genesis 3:15, God said to the serpent, he said, I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. How many of you know women don't have seed? This is not a trick question. How many people know women do not carry seed? One, two, three. The man provides the seed, the woman provides the egg. Why did God say her seed is going to bruise your head and you're going to bruise his heel? Because he's prophesying the virgin birth. He's prophesying that a deliverer, a Messiah, a Savior is coming who's going to crush the devil, and he is going to be born not of the seed of a man, but he is going to be born of the seed of a woman. It is going to be the virgin birth. It's going to be a miracle. That's what he's saying. This is the heart of Christianity. Because Jesus came to save us from sin. Every human being is born in sin. It's been passed down. The Bible says in Romans 5:12, when Adam sinned, sin entered the world. And Adam's sin brought death. So death spread to everyone because everybody sinned. The Bible says everyone has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Psalm 51:5, David said, I was born a sinner. Yes, from the moment my mother conceived me, I was born a sinner. That sin nature has been passed down to every person. So that's why Jesus was not conceived by human seed. Because he would have been born in sin. That's why he had to be born of a virgin. That's the difference between Jesus and Muhammad. That's the difference between Jesus and Buddha. That's the difference between Jesus and Krishna. Those are all men. They're all dead. They're rotting in the ground. Jesus is alive. He's not just a human being. He was God with us, came to redeem us, and he rose from the dead. His grave is empty. I've been to his tomb. Nobody there. Amen. Can anybody say amen?
Amen.
He left heaven. He came to the earth. And he slipped inside a human body. In Hebrews 10:5, it says, that is why Christ said, as he came into the world, O God, the blood of bulls and goats cannot satisfy you. So you have made ready this body of mine for me to lay as a sacrifice upon your altar. You see, up until that time, God had allowed them to sacrifice animals. And the blood of an animal would cover their sin. But ultimately, the blood of an animal can't redeem us. That's why it says you prepared a body. Jesus said you prepared a body for me to come, that I can lay my life on the altar, that I can redeem humanity. Okay. Amen?
Amen?
It's important, family, for us to believe in the virgin birth. Because it helps us to understand that Jesus was and is God. Jesus was not a messenger from God. Jesus was God with a message. What is the message? John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Do you know that is one of the greatest verses? Can I break that verse down for you? That verse contains so much. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. For God, the greatest lover, so loved the greatest degree, the world, the greatest company, that he gave the greatest act, his only begotten Son, the greatest gift, that whoever, the greatest opportunity, believes the greatest simplicity, in him the greatest attraction, should not perish the greatest promise, but the greatest difference, have the greatest certainty, everlasting life, the greatest possession. You can preach all day on John 3:16. Let me tell you right now. Here's the thing we need to understand about God with us. God didn't send somebody to redeem us. He came himself. I heard this story about a judge. This judge, he had a friend. His friend got a ticket. And he asked his friend, the judge, if he could take care of it. And the judge said, sure, I'll take care of it. And so, a few weeks later, his friend called the judge and said, thank you for dismissing that ticket for me. And the judge said, I didn't dismiss the ticket. And his friend said, I thought you said you were going to take care of it for me. And the judge said, I did take care of it. And the friend said, well, if you didn't dismiss it, how'd you take care of it? The judge said, I paid it. His friend said, I didn't want you to pay for it. I wanted you to do your judge thing. And the judge said, were you guilty? And the friend said, yes, I was. The judge said, well, then justice demanded that the penalty be paid. And if I'm a righteous judge, I can't just dismiss it. The penalty must be paid. You know, a lot of people think that God, the righteous judge, just dismisses their charges and sins against them. But family, our God is a righteous judge. And so he came and paid the penalty himself for us. It's very important to believe in the virgin birth because it helps you to understand that God is with us. That God paid the price for our sin. And that Jesus was fully God when he was on this earth. The second thing I want you to be firmly established in is that I believe Jesus came in the flesh. Number one, I believe in the virgin birth. Number two, I believe Jesus came. God came to the earth in the flesh. Those are two truths I want you to always hold in your heart. In the same way there's a war against the virgin birth, there's a war against this. Amen. You see, the virgin birth declares that he is God. But do you realize it's the same argument that they were having 2,000 years ago? In Matthew chapter 16, Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi and he asked the disciples, he said, who do people say that I, the Son of Man, am? Who do people say I am? Well, they replied, some say John the Baptist. And some say Elijah. And others say Jeremiah or one of the other prophets. Do you know a lot of people, that's the same thing they say, who is Jesus? Well, he was a prophet. Well, he was a good man. No. The answer today is the same as it was 2,000 years ago. He is the Christ. He is the Messiah. He is the Son of the living God. That's what Peter said. Jesus said, who do you say I am? Simon Peter said, you're the Messiah. You're the Son of the living God. That's why it's important for us to believe in the virgin birth. It's also important for us to believe that he came in the flesh. John 1 verse 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Let me say that again. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Though in the beginning was the Word. When you read Genesis, what's the first thing that you read? In the beginning, God said, let there be light. And there was. And then God said, let there be light from darkness. God spoke the world into existence, right? And the Bible says in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and nothing was made without him that was made. Do you realize that's Jesus? Yeah. Saying, light be, and light is. Because in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. And nothing was made without him. And the Word became flesh. So you see, Jesus didn't just begin 2016 years ago when he was born in Bethlehem. Some people still see Jesus as the baby. Jesus, the baby in the manger. Jesus, the baby in the manger. Hey, Jesus ain't a baby in the manger anymore. Jesus left heaven as the creator of the world and came to the earth and became a human being for one reason, to redeem us, to save us from our sins. 1 John 4 verse 2 says, by this you know, the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard was coming and is now already in the world. How many of you know the spirit of the Antichrist is operating in the world today? How many of you know we live in the world today that is anti-Christ? You can be a Buddhist, nobody will persecute you. You can be a Hare Krishna. You can be a Scientologist. No one's going to persecute you. You can be a Muslim. No one will persecute you. But you be a born again Christian, and I promise you right now, the world hates it. Have you ever noticed that? Why is it the born again Christians that are only the people that get persecuted? Why is it that hundreds of Christians are being beheaded right now in Syria as we sit here? Hundreds of Christians and children are being beheaded. Because it's the spirit of the Antichrist. 2 John verse 7 says, for many deceivers have gone out into the world who do not confess Jesus Christ is coming in the flesh. This is a deceiver and this is an Antichrist. There are people that will try to deceive people that Jesus isn't real, that Jesus isn't the Son of God, that Jesus was just a man, Jesus was just a prophet. Put him in the same class as everybody else. Why is it important to understand that Jesus came in the flesh? It's important to believe these two truths, that he was fully God and that he was fully man, that God became a man. Let me tell you why it's important. Because if he didn't become a man, then he didn't die. And if he didn't die, then our sins are not atoned for. Jesus had to die. God came to the earth and died to pay for our sin. Hebrews 2:14. Are you still here this morning?
Yes.
Because God's children are human beings, made of flesh and blood, the Son also became flesh and blood. For only as a human being could he die, and only by dying could he break the power of the devil who had the power of death. You need to know that Jesus broke the power of death. Every one of us are going to face death unless the Lord returns. We're all going to face death. But the good news is our Lord already faced death and he already overcame it. In Revelation 1:18, he said, I am he who lives. I was dead. Behold, I'm alive forevermore. I have the keys of death. I have the keys of Hades. I was dead, but I'm alive forevermore. Let me tell you, my Lord suffered. He bled and died for me. And my Lord defeated death and he rose again. Every one of us are going to go through death's doorway. Jesus became a man. He became a human being. Listen, every one of us have a loved one, have had a loved one die. We've all lost someone close to us. It's tough to watch someone that you love, you know, to suffer and to die. I was talking to someone a while back and had a loved one who was dying. And I said to him, I said, you know, God knows how you feel. Because Jesus became a man. And he was subject to death, and God watched his own son die. So the man said, yes, but God knew he would rise again. And I said, yes, so do you. It's the promise we have. Amen?
Amen.
One day, this body, we're going to put off this body. And one day, we're going to put on a glorified body. We're going to be transformed. Because Jesus became a man and died. Because Jesus rose from the dead, we have the victory. These truths are so important, family. We believe in the virgin birth because it tells us that God was conceived by the Holy Spirit, which means he was fully God. And the world wants to attack that truth because if they can discredit that he wasn't really God, but he was, and he is, God with us. And then we need to understand that he came in the flesh, that God became a man. And as a man, he suffered. And as a man, he died. So you see, Jesus, are you getting the picture here?
Yeah.
Jesus is fully God and fully man. Another famous messianic scripture in the book of Isaiah. The book of Isaiah has more messianic scriptures, more messianic prophecies than any other book in the Bible. And this one you see often on Christmas cards. Isaiah 9 verse 6. For unto us A child is born. Who's that talking about?
Jesus.
Unto us a son is given. Who's that talking about?
Sacrifice.
Jesus. Unto us, you see, a child was born 2016 years ago. Jesus came to the earth and entered into a human body. God reduced himself to the size of the seed. Was conceived in the womb of Mary. Child was born. But let me tell you, the word that became flesh, he couldn't be born. He had to be given because he's always existed. Do you understand that the Son of God did not begin in Bethlehem 2016 years ago? He existed for all eternity. That's just when he came to the earth. Are you getting this morning?
Yes.
He was born as a man, but he was given as the Son of God. That scripture shows Jesus' humanity and Jesus' deity all at the same time. I want you to think about something all the way back in the beginning. Let's just say that Adam had not been with Eve when she sinned. Now, we know Adam was there. In fact, the Bible says that Eve was deceived. She didn't really realize what she was doing, but Adam was not deceived. Adam knew what he was doing. We know Adam was there. He didn't protect his wife. We know Adam also sinned. But what if Adam didn't sin? What if Adam had been on the other side of the garden when Eve ate of the fruit? Then a conversation like this would have happened. God would have gone to Adam and said, "My son, I'm so sorry to tell you this. But the bride that I made you has sinned. And because she has sinned, she's going to die." Now, I know that didn't happen, but I can tell you what did happen. God the Father had to go to his son and say, "Son, I'm so sorry to tell you, but the bride that I made for you has sinned, and she's going to die." And our Lord and Savior said, "I will die for her. I will die so that my bride can live. I will give my life to save her." That's the story of Christmas.
Amen.
That's the Christmas. That's what we celebrate. It's the greatest story. And I don't mean story like a fairy tale, but it's the greatest truth. It's the greatest message in the entire world, that God became a man to die for you and me because he loved us so much. I want to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes. Many of us here today are already believers. Many have been believers for some time. But let's never leave our first love, our wonderment of these two truths, that God became flesh, he dwelt among us, and he paid the penalty for our sin himself. That's the story of Christmas. Maybe you've seen the major scene. Maybe you've heard the story before, but maybe it's not real to you. Because you've never given control of your life to Jesus. You've never really yielded your life to him. The Bible says in Romans 10 verse 9, if you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. If you believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, and if you openly declare Jesus is my Lord, that means you give control, surrender. You surrender control of your life. Jesus becomes the Lord, the master in your life. Will you do that today? Let me tell you, there's no better time at Christmas to give your life to Jesus. I want to ask you a question. If you were to die today, can you say that you know for sure? Can you say, "Pastor Steve, if I died today, I know for certain that I would go to heaven. I know that all is well between me and God. I've made Jesus the Lord of my life. I have no doubt when I die, I'll go to heaven." Or do you have to be honest and say, "Pastor Steve, I'm not sure. I hope I go to heaven if I die. I do believe in God. I'm a member of such and such a church. Listen, I'm not asking you if you belong to a church. I'm not even asking you if you believe in God. I'm asking you, if you died tonight, are you sure that you would spend eternity in heaven? Because the good news is you can be sure of that. You can know that. You can be certain of it. In fact, you can leave here today and you can know that all is right, all is well between you and God. You can know that every mistake, every sin you've ever committed in your life, it's forgiven, it's washed away. You can know for sure that when you die, heaven is where you're going to spend all of eternity. I want to pray for you. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to ask you to stand up, but while heads are bowed, while eyes are closed, if you say, Pastor Steve, pray for me. Include me in that prayer that you're going to pray. I want to make sure that all is right between me and God, and I want to know when I die, I want to go to heaven, and I've never openly declared Jesus as my Lord, and I want to do it today. Pray for me. If that's you, quickly, right now, I want you to lift your hand up. Just lift your hand up high. I'm looking for hands. If your hand is raised, you're included in this prayer this morning. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. Just put up your hand high right now. And I want to include you in this prayer. All right, all those who lifted your hand, I want to ask you to say this prayer, please, with me. In fact, can we all please say this prayer together? Everybody, family, say this. Say, dear God, I thank you that you love me so much that you sent your Son, the Lord Jesus, to come to this earth for me, to take my sin, my punishment, to die in my place, that I could be saved. Say this, say, Lord, you said, if I believe in my heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, and if I confess openly Jesus is my Lord, you said I would be saved. I would be your child. And so I do this today. Say this, say, Lord Jesus, I give you my life. I ask you to come into my heart. Cleanse me of my sins. Save me, Lord. Make me your child, because I confess Jesus is Lord of my life. That means from today, I'm going to live for you, Lord. I'm going to follow you. I'm going to do what your Bible says. And I thank you because I have received you. Say, I am now saved. Say, I'm born again. I'm a child of God. God is my very own Father. I'm your very own child. Heaven is my home. My name is written down in your book of life. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. And everybody said amen. Come on, give the Lord thanks and praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, how many of you believe in Christmas? Stand up with me. How many of you raise your hand? You believe in Christmas? How many of you believe in the virgin birth? How many of you believe Jesus came in the flesh? Well, before we go home today, come on, let's declare it. Let's sing it together. I believe.
I believe in life eternal.
I believe
in the virgin birth. I believe in the saints' communion and in your holy church. I believe in the resurrection.
is Lord today. Lord Jesus, we have been in a praise that you bring peace in Lord today. Let us know it. Praise you today. Come on, tell your neighbor Merry Christmas. Let's declare it out. I wish you a Merry Christmas.
We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas.
And a Happy New Year.
Something like that. Let's sing it again. One more time. One, two, three.
We wish you a Merry Christmas.
And today, setting up, thank you to the music team and staff. Everybody, we appreciate you so much. I think if you want to help, we could do with some help with tear down today. We sure could do with your help. But next Sunday is the first Sunday of 2017. And I have a word from the Lord for you. I encourage you to start 2017 in the house of God. Put God first. Come and start the year in God's house, hearing His word. Because this year, let me tell you right now, is going to be way better than last year. In the name of Jesus. Merry Christmas. We love you. We'll see you next Sunday, everybody. God bless you.